Cutting Through the Spin. The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Welcome back. Coming up very shortly, Garda Grainne Doherty will be joining me with the very latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána. So looking forward to that. But first, let's catch up on some of your comments coming in this morning in relation to disabled parking. A caller says, this happens to me all of the time with my 9-year-old son. He has got severe autism and is nonverbal and has very high care needs. It's a horrible how we live right now. I'm so sorry you were made feel like this. And yeah, again, it's not always the person that's driving that qualifies for the badge. Some people are disgusting. They vent and abuse people with hidden disabilities or infirmities. Those people really need to stop and think before opening their gobs. I have hidden issues with my balance, and I was severely verbally abused by a woman on a bike when I veered off into her way. I felt totally humiliated. It's a condition I can't control. What am I supposed to do? Stay indoors all of my life? All I was doing was going for a wee walk along the quay as advised to do so to keep my muscles and bones strong. People think that I'm drunk when in fact I never touch alcohol. Perfect example of a hidden disability there. You get a badge on Temu that says, I have a hidden disability. It goes around your neck. People just don't stop to think before they say anything to someone. This isn't on. I hope the poor lady gets over this as she has enough to deal with. It is interesting, and thanks, Josephine, for that suggestion. But I think societally, we're in a bad situation if you have to wear a badge to prove that you're entitled to park in a disabled spot. But it is a solution. I get that. A caller says, I have tackled young people who had no badge displayed in garages, supermarkets, etc. They usually say they're waiting on it coming in the post. They're not anything but selfish. Rosella says, I get you. It's nothing compared to your diagnosis, and I'm so sorry. This is in response to this gentleman. I have Lyme's disease, and some days I wish the car was parked in the shop. With having a hidden illness, I hear you 100%. Some days are good, and you plaster on a smile, but inside you're just about there. I feel bad using the disabled toilet, but sometimes I really got to go. Wishing you all the best and lots of hugs, and wishing you the best too with that horrible condition, Rosella. And it's a very isolating and lonely condition as well, because, you know, it's hard for people potentially around you to understand it, but also too, it's hard to get blooming diagnosis and treatment with it as well. Another listener says, I myself have a disability badge, but my God, did it take me a long time to get it. Like this lady said, not all disabilities are visible. The look I get from people at times when I park in the disabled area. I've recently been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. Some days I'm good, other days I struggle to get out of bed. People should not judge anyone. Just because they look fine to you, it doesn't mean that in fact they are. Another listener says, I've lost count the amount of times I've had abuse of people for parking in disabled spots. And yes, I've got a badge. I totally get what this person is saying. Just because you might look okay doesn't mean you're not ill or in pain. A person has even spat at me before. It's crazy the world we live in, unfortunately. That is horrendous. Swear at me all you like, but spitting. A caller says 100%, although all badges are 100% visible. So if you don't have one displayed, I think it's fair to challenge, or even if disabled, shouldn't be in them without your badge. I don't if I forget mine, despite being in a wheelchair and a wheelchair van. The lost trinket or memorial piece that was left at Asaranka Waterfall. Apparently there was a lot of machinery and works going on there to build a new bridge, so it's possible it got lost, buried or damaged, and that sounds plausible as well. Let me see, where are we? The lots on parking, I'll come back to them in a moment, because, in fact, there's so many of them, I must continue after we take a break.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Welcome along to this edition of Community Garda Information on Tuesday, the 25th of November. And we're joined in studio by Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Good morning, Grainne.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you keeping?
I'm doing the best.
Excellent stuff. Okay. Right, we'll get straight into appeals. And we'll start with criminal damage at Millfield Heights in Buncrana.
Yes, we're investigating an incident of criminal damage. This was only recently reported to us. So this incident occurred at a house in the area of Millfield Heights, Buncrana, on Wednesday the 12th of November. Between 3:30pm and 5pm, the front window of that house had been smashed between those times. We're appealing to anybody who might have been in that area with a dash cam to get in touch with us. If anybody can offer any relevant information, they are asked to contact Buncrana Garda Station on 932 0540.
A second incident of criminal damage in Buncrana.
Yes, so this incident occurred between 10am on Wednesday the 19th of November and 4pm the following day, Thursday the 20th of November, at a house in the area of Strabo, Buncrana. So between those times, a bedroom window and a window to the side of the front door were smashed at that property. No entry was gained to the house. So again, we're appealing to anybody who might have observed any type of suspicious activity in that area between those dates to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540.
These incidents are very troubling, aren't they?
There's so much
potential for injury and even worse.
And they're quite common. You know, over the past number of weeks, we seem to have had quite a few of these types of incidents. And again, not finger pointing at the youth, but in the majority of these cases, it does appear to be youths, you know, in the areas and thinking that they're having a bit of crack and it's harmless fun.
Right, so it's not necessarily, and I'm speaking generally here, it's not necessarily that someone's being targeted as such. It can be just, you know, general antisocial behaviour.
Yeah, well, in some of the cases over the last few weeks, I know that in recent weeks, youth or a group of youths were identified in relation to this kind of behaviour. Now, I can't speak for these incidents.
No, I understand
I'm not sure
that.
In relation to those, but
that's why I'm saying generally speaking. Okay, because that's they come up a couple of weeks almost.
Quite regularly
it feels
now,
like.
Yeah. And just if parents could speak to their young people as well in relation to this type of behaviour, because especially if you're a vulnerable elderly living alone, or for anybody, it's a troubling, frightening type of incident.
I would get so paranoid, you know.
You would feel you've been targeted.
Yeah, in your own house. Yeah, exactly. There was a third criminal damage incident, this time in Muff.
Yes, this one happened at Sapa Muff on Sunday the 23rd November at around 10:10pm. So Gardaí were alerted to the fact that the windscreen of a Jeep that was parked up along the roadside in that area, and the windscreen appeared to be on fire. So it was established then that a piece of clothing had been set on fire and it was laid up against the front windscreen off this Jeep, and it caused the windscreen to crack with the heat. So the Jeep had broken down at that location the previous day and had been left there. We're appealing to any motorists who may have travelled in that area with a dash cam between 9:30pm and 10:10pm on that date to make the footage available to us. Again, if anybody can assist with any type of relevant information, they can contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540, or this goes for all of our incidents today, the Garda Confidential line. It can be contacted on 1800 666 111.
Now, down to Donegal Town and another couple of instances of theft or attempted theft from vehicles.
Yeah, again, we're seeing a rise in this type of incidents.
It seems to be particularly around Donegal Town, again, weekly. Now, I know it depends on whether the Gardaí need assistance or not or what have you, but I can't help, and I must point out, there seems to be a trend of cars being targeted around Donegal Town, Grania, at least that's what it appears.
Yeah, well, that certainly has been the case over the past number of weeks, maybe the past 4 to 5, 6 weeks. Even we've been doing appeals, and it has mainly been in the Donegal Town area, yeah.
And I seem to recall, too, in relation to an early appeal, there had been some progress in relation to it, so
there had, yeah. Somebody was arrested in connection with some of the earlier incidents.
It does make it quite interesting. But we'll start in Clarendon Drive.
Yes, so this incident happened at Clarendon Drive, Donegal Town, in the early hours of Wednesday the 19th of November, in and around 1am. So a car had been parked up at that location. It was entered by a male in dark clothing. That's as per CCTV, it has been viewed. He searched through the car. He threw a number of items outside the car, but nothing is believed to have been stolen and no damage was caused. So if anyone was in that area of Donegal Town in the early hours of Wednesday morning, between 12:30 and 1:30am with a dash cam, we're asking them to contact us. Again, any relevant information should be passed to Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
And a second incident on the Ballybuffet Road out of Donegal Town.
Yeah, similar type of incident again. This is a theft incident occurred at Drumlanacher, Donegal Town, so on the Ballybuffet Road, on Friday the 21st November at around 8:10pm. So a Jeep was parked up in the driveway of a house at that location. It was entered. A number of cans of beer and a fishing knife were stolen from within this Jeep. We're appealing to anybody who may have travelled along. That's a very busy stretch of road. So if anybody travelled along that stretch of road with a dash cam between 8pm and 8:30pm on Friday, if we're asking them to make that footage available to us. And Gardaí and Ballyshannon, again, Their number is 0719858530.
All right, and it'd be remiss of us not to obviously not attribute any blame or responsibility, but to remind people of the basics in terms of security.
Yeah, and again, we're not proportioning blame in this case either to any of the victims in any of these incidents, but we are, you know, we're like a long playing record really in relation to the locking up of vehicles, you know, and
more
we're
like
saying
a scratched record, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, well, we're constantly reminding people, and I know people can forget, it's easily done, but just please, we're urging everybody, lock up your vehicle. This, it doesn't matter if you're parking it in the driveway of your house, to the rear of your house, in a car park up the town, in a public place, it doesn't matter where it's parked. If it's going to be unattended, lock it. If you leave your vehicle open, you're making life easy for these opportunistic thieves, and they are out there, and they're out there in the middle of the night, they're out there in the evening times, as we've seen recently. They're trying doors, and if they go into an estate or an area and they try 100 doors, even if they get two cars that are unlocked and get something from those, that makes it worth their while. So don't leave your car unlocked. Don't keep large amounts of cash or other valuables in your vehicle. Park in a well-lit location if possible. And always, if you see anybody in or around cars, trying door handles of cars or snooping around cars, please report that to Gardaí immediately.
Yeah, and if it's innocent, it's innocent. And if it's not, you could have prevented someone losing items or indeed the car itself. Let's go back to Muff now. A little bit unusual, thankfully. It's the theft of a caravan.
Yes, so a caravan was stolen from the front of a house in the area of Sapa, Muff, on Friday the 21st November between approximately 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. This caravan is a white Eldis Knightsbridge. It has blue mountains and a deer motif to the front. A yellow wheel lock had been attached to this caravan. We're appealing to anybody who might have observed this stolen caravan in transit on that date to get in touch with us. If anybody travelled in the area of Muff between those hours on Friday with a dash cam, we're asking them again, please make that footage available to us. Any information in relation to this theft or in relation to the current whereabouts of this caravan should be passed to Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540, or again the Garda Confidential line, 1800-666-111.
And that should trigger a memory from someone, because someone's seen it being moved, you'd imagine, and whilst it's not unique, it's not common, as it might be in the summer, to see a caravan being towed at this time of year, particularly if it was in the Sapa Muff area or surrounds, and also two quite distinctive livery, I think is the word, on it too. A deer motif to the front with blue mountains. Mm-hmm. Okay, so hopefully someone saw that, because as I say, it should stand out particularly at this time of the year. Right, now, an appeal in relation to lost property this time, Grania.
Yes, so we recently were contacted by a lady. She lost her platinum ring with three diamonds in the area of the Fort Lynn Retail Park here in town in Letterkenny on the 19th of November. And this ring is of massive sentimental value to her. And we're urging anybody who might have any information in relation to its whereabouts to please contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167100.
Okay, so that's a platinum ring with three diamonds lost in the area of Fort Lynn Retail Park. If you found it, it means a great, great deal to its owner. Get in touch with the Garda station, or indeed if you want to contact us, we can pass on your details. Someone probably has it and is very keen for it to get back to its owner.
And just if anybody should come across a similar type ring for sale as well, you know, please alert
Gardaí
so we can check that out also.
Okay, right. Now, there's a lot of rams quite active at the moment ahead of lambing season in April. I don't need to draw any diagrams there. But sheep attacks are not just during lambing season, and Gardaí were alerted to an incident in Carndonagh recently.
Yes, and we regularly issue advice at lambing season in relation to this. So Carndonagh Gardaí, they recently attended the home of a farmer. He had a couple of sheep attacked by a dog or dogs in recent weeks. So in light of this, we're just reminding dog owners that their pet must be kept under control at all times. And in relation to lambing season, don't allow your dogs to roam, and keep dogs away from lambing ewes as they're easily distressed. By being a responsible dog owner, you can help prevent vicious attacks on defenceless sheep and on their lambs. Should your dog attack animals on someone's land, you could be held liable for the damages, and you could also face prosecution. And just, this is something people may not be aware of. The farmer is within their rights to shoot any animal that is worrying their livestock. So with dog ownership comes responsibility. Secure your dog, have it microchipped and register it with your vet. Please keep your family pet under effectual control, is the message we're sending out today.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. It might appear like a family pet. You might remember, if you're old enough listening, the old cartoon type advert where it was a beautiful lab or something in the house, and then it just turned into this vicious animal. I know it's not like to think, it's not nice to think like that, but you know, they're it's in their DNA, and some dogs will turn into that vicious animal and attack others, even if they don't appear like that in the house. Right, a question here, and it's an interesting one. Could you ask Garda Grainne what options does a mum have regarding online bullying of her 11-year-old child? And I suppose, when does it become a Garda stroke criminal matter, Grainne?
Yes, so if this cyberbullying involves a student from a particular school or that child's school, inform the school so that they can take action. You know, every school has their own anti-bullying policy and they can act within the remits of that. For serious cases, if it involves threats or criminal intent, report the matter to the Gardaí. And young people should never reply to messages that harass or annoy them. It's easier said than done, you know, and just don't ever reply to these types of messages. The bully wants to know that they've upset you. And if they get a response, it then feeds into the problem. Keep the messages. By keeping these nasty messages, your child will be able to produce a record of the bullying, the dates and the times. And this will be very useful then for any subsequent school or Garda investigation. Block the sender. Nobody needs to put up with somebody harassing them, whether it's through mobile phones, social networking. Children can block contacts through via the service provider, you know, that they're using. And report any instances of cyberbullying to the website. That's the same message again, really. Report it via the website or that service provider directly. I would advise this parent, check out webwise.ie. There's a parent portal within that, and there's a wealth of information in there for parents in relation to all sorts of internet issues and cyberbullying.
I think too also, if it's certain apps that the child is using, and it might be easier said than done to say stop using those apps, you know, you can control who can message you as well. So I'm just wondering if this is maybe someone they suspect, but they've created an alias. You know, you can control your friends group and who can message you and who can't message you on most of these apps, right? So that you don't get messaged by someone, or you can't get messaged by someone who's not in your friends list, for an example. And then if they are in your friends list and doing it, and you screenshot it or take a picture of it with another phone, it does give you the evidence to go to school, go to the school, or go to the Gardaí, for that matter. But you don't, you can be on social media, but you don't, it doesn't have to be a free for all that anyone can say anything to you at any given time too. Because if you're not blocking strangers from messaging your children, you could have the same person repeatedly making new accounts.
Yeah, and you can parental controls also in relation to any of these social media accounts. And this parent also would like to say also, they're very welcome to come to any Garda station, even to come in to show the messages to us. Show us what's been going on to get
good,
further advice.
I would
advice,
say yeah. Mum could feel a little bit helpless there.
Yeah, well,
and
that's
if she
exactly.
Gets the guards, you know, get some face-to-face advice as well, as good as your advice was. Rightio, so we had the pleasure of Rhianna Reynolds in studio with us yesterday. Rhianna never made, she's a great personality. I don't know if you heard the interview, or maybe you've spoken to her, but she's a fantastic personality and is going to go places, there's no doubt about that. And she has that Ballyshannon wit as well too, which is what I love to see. So she didn't make the awards that I was part of, but she did make the national awards and did really, really well as Paddy as well. But anyway, it all started off with the Donegal Youth Awards, didn't it?
It did, yeah. So we had our own Youth Awards ceremony here in conjunction with Supermax. That was on September 16th in the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town. I don't need to tell you that. You were there on the night.
No, and I heard about it for about 17 months
before. You did, yeah, in advance.
That was a great night, though, wasn't it?
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
It's really found its place there. You know, it was a packed room. And everyone was there from the beginning to the end, from all over the county. And it was really, the food was lovely. Obviously, the Abbey Hotel are always great hosts. Like, it's a really good event.
It is. It was a lovely event, happy event, and a proud event for the families and for the teachers and for the children themselves. And it's lovely to recognise them.
Yeah,
it's so lovely to give them recognition when they do good work. And there are so many good young people within the county, you know, that... Yeah. That I'm sure, hopefully for next year, maybe if somebody hasn't nominated a young person, they might do so next year.
Yeah,
you know,
for
and
sure.
Make them part of it as well. So
because everyone who was nominated was recognised, and then there were overall winners then.
Yeah,
too,
so everybody that got a nomination was invited on the night, and they got recognition for being nominated. And then we had our own overall winners in the night. So Rhianna and Paddy would have been two of our group of overall winners in the night from the Donegal division. And then we were delighted to hear that Paddy and Rhianna had won at national level. So they travelled there at the weekend just to Portlaoise, the Midlands Park Hotel, on Saturday the 22nd of November, and they were presented with their awards there. So we wish to congratulate Rhianna Reynolds, who's from Ballyshannon, and Paddy Boyle from Tory Island on their success. And we hope they had a lovely day on Saturday with their guests. I have a wee rundown here. I don't know, do you want me to read those out?
It's up to you. We went through it yesterday.
Anyway, yeah, no, that's grand. Yeah. No, but I don't have, they're quite lengthy actually. Yeah, so we just want to congratulate both. It's on our Garda Facebook
exactly,
page anyway. There's a rundown on the...
Because you can listen back to the interview with Rihanna yesterday. Yeah. Rihanna was diagnosed with ADHD early on. And she speaks quite frankly about how it made an awful lot of sense about how she was doing in school and all. But she turned it around to help people understand it, but create these amazing little booklets that anyone could get great benefit from. And we know Paddy too. He's just 15 years of age. Big, tall lad, though.
He is,
isn't he? A guard in the making, maybe. And he heard shouting off the cliffs of Aran Moore, Tory. And he went down and he pulled the boat person up onto the rock. So it was incredibly brave. And both of them, in different ways, fantastic, as was every single... The one thing about those certs and the overall awards in Donegal Town, none were handed out for no reason, were they, Grani?
They were all well-deserved. Yeah, and we congratulate Rihanna, Paddy, but we want to congratulate everybody that was nominated this year for an award within Donegal and further afield also. And whether they won an overall award or not on the night, or a national award for that matter, they all deserve our applause. You know, they've all achieved great things, whether it be helping through their community or they've overcome personal challenges in their own lives, and they're all to be commended. And it is, as I said, it's great to see them getting recognition for the good, and they do a lot of good. Our youth aren't all that bad. We're giving out times about them, but they're, you know, we have great young people within the county.
And the overwhelming majority of them are fantastic people. Grania, thank you so much as always.
No
really
problem.
Appreciate you calling up. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 25th of November. It's back for you again live after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. And if you missed anything there, if you want to listen back, you can do so on our podcast live on the website from 12:30 or on our social media and on Garda Síochána's social media if you want to watch it back a little later on. Welcome back to the programme. Now, I just want to mention, at different times over the course of the day, because people listen at different times. I'd love you to listen right from the very beginning to the very end, and many of you do, but not all of you can for various reasons. So what it is, it's the Christmas School Showcase. We're really looking forward to this because in the next, whilst talking of Christmas now might seem premature, in 2 or 3 weeks' time we'll be in the full throes of it. And we are going to be linking in on this show to a school in Donegal, and there'll be another school linked into on John Breslin show. So it is the Christmas School Showcase. So we're on the mission to spread joy, laughter and a touch of our own magic to schools across the community. So we can only go to two, but we want you to nominate those two schools. Now, it could be the school that your child attends, or maybe you're a teacher. It'd be lovely to get the teachers involved. And we're going to call to your school. Lee Gooch is going to land in with the team and ask you to perform on the day. So it could be a Christmas song, a short team from your nativity or school play if you're doing one, or a festive poem. So if your school would like to get involved, send in your nomination to christmas@highlandradio.com by the 10th of December, and your school could be one of the two we visit then with these live links I talked of on the 15th of December. And also too, we're doing this again in association with Callaghan's Electrical, which means that the two schools that are successful will receive a Samsung tablet, and there'll be selection boxes for the whole school as well. So get your school onto the Christmas School Showcase, where we link in with Lee at the school on this show, and also John does on his as well. And that will all happen on the 15th of December. But you've got till the 10th of December to get your nominations in. We're joined on the programme now by 100% Redress Councillor Ali Farron. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining me again, Ali.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Now, we're focusing at the moment on Carn Donagh Hospital. This came to your attention recently after a representation from a local family. So what was that about? What did you observe?
Well, I got a phone call from a family who's got their mother in hospital in Letterkenny. She was meant to be there for 1 or 2 days and, you know, get moved back home. But she ended up, for want of a better word, they want her home. She unfortunately for her, she's still in Letterkenny Hospital. And the longer an elderly person spends in hospital, they're off their feet. You know, they start to go downhill. So the family was very eager and still is very eager to get her home. And
the lady still requires care, right? But she doesn't need acute hospital care. So she's got no business at this point, thankfully, which means she's recovering. She's got no business in Letterkenny University Hospital. But ideally, she needs step-down care then in her local community hospital, which is Carndonagh. But that's a problem.
That's it in a nutshell. So she's bed-hogging at the moment in Letterkenny. The family want her in Cairn, and they asked me if I could help. So the next morning, I went into Carndonagh Hospital, and I said on my video I was born there, and it has changed a lot since I was there as a child. But it's a very, very good facility. But unfortunately for that family and for the rest of the families in this neck of the woods, it's full to capacity. It has 46 beds, 23 long-term and 23 step-down beds. But, you know, it's a fantastic facility, but it needs to nearly be, you know, it needs another 20 beds. Not next year, not in 10 years' time, now, because we have an ageing population. And like in 20 years' time, I'll probably be ready for one of them beds. But at the moment, there is not, you know, there isn't enough beds in North Annishone for the population and the aging population. Like years ago, I'm lucky, I'm one of eight, and my mother was in hospital a few years ago, and we were eager to get her home as well. And there's six of us living around here, so we were able to provide a certain level of care, and we got help as well. But the reality for a lot of families from now on is they don't have that help in the locality. So we need them to be beds available that they can go to and be in the area that they're from. Because anybody will tell you to leave the likes of Cairn or Kilmany or Malinhead or Moville to head to Letterkenny every day, that's a drain too, you know.
But it's also a drain on the lady who's in hospital, who wants to be closer to home and have better access to her community, effectively.
Of course.
So... do you know off the top of your head how long this lady now has been in Letterkenny University Hospital? As you say, it was expected to be a couple of days, but...
Last week, she was over 3 weeks.
Well, okay.
And when I was talking to... you know the way you start doing a bit of digging and investigating? There was 40... last Friday morning, there were something like 42 people in Letterkenny Hospital waiting to get step-down beds. I think around 8 to 10 of them was waiting for any shown. So, you know, throughout the county, there's a major problem that if we can't get beds in the local area, and I know we're getting a big hospital in Letterkenny that they're all talking about, but that's not going to be of any use to North Annishone. You know, we need them in the area that we have. And to be fair, Cairn Hospital has the potential to be expanded, to be, you know, there's room there to build on a new place, but we've got to be probably more vocal. We need to, as the man said to me, we've got to bang the drum. We've got to let them know that coming down the line, there's going to be a severe lack of long-term beds and step-down beds in North Annishone.
Yeah, I know what you're saying too. This is not just the immediate issue of this one person. 3 weeks in an acute hospital, over 3 weeks now, when they could be in their local community hospital. It is absolutely crazy. But you need to be future planning. So, you know, it's not about squeezing one bed extra. It's about an additional 20, 25, 30. Like, it would be very interesting to know if any analysis has been done in the various areas to determine how many beds are required. Right, so how many are required in Stranola in 20 years? How many are required in Carndonagh in 20 years? How many are required in Lifford? Do you get where I'm coming from? You know, what are we planning?
The story at the moment in Cairn is 46, and they certainly need another 20 ASAP. You know, like, and maybe if the census was checked up, and would 20 even be enough? But they have the room, they have the site that's on, you know, it's a big green field. They're spending fortune cutting lawns, so they have the room to expand the service. And we need probably our TDs and, you know, the decision makers to know about it. And I'm sure it's the same in lots of other areas around the county as well. But for North Annishone, Cairn Donagh certainly needs at least 20 more beds, and they need them last week.
Yeah, indeed. And that 42, it's going to be a mixture, isn't it, of, you know, home care packages. We know there are problems in that regard as well. Home care packages, places in local schools, etc. And that is a big pressure on the hospital. And you know, sometimes I think people are reluctant to highlight that as part of the overcrowding problem, because you don't want to make people feel like they're, you know, an inconvenience. They're not. The system is broken if we don't have enough beds to care for people as close to their home as is reasonable.
Yeah, well, the system, it's easy for me to come on here and give out, right, and moan about things. But in truth, Cairn Donagh Hospital, from what I can see, and the people that's in it, it's a fantastic facility. They have plenty staff. They're not short-staffed. And the condition of the property that they have at the moment isn't top-notch, right? But the reality is, you know, we're not knocking that. We want to see, you know, going forward, we need more beds, and it's as simple as that.
It's an important clarification, and I do try. Anytime we talk about issues like this, it's actually to support and praise the staff, be it at Letterkenny University Hospital or Cairn Donagh Community Hospital, that they have better resources and a treat. It's never a criticism of staff. Of course, Ali. Listen, thank you for that. Obviously, you've got the offices of Charles Ward to highlight it on a national scale, but you're of the opinion that, you know, the more councillors, the more reps, more members of the public that make a noise about this, the better success there might be in this campaign.
Yeah, we've got to bang the drum, and that's the bottom line. You know, we've got to highlight it. And listen here, we have to be selfish too, from a point of view. It's a place I could end up being in, you know, because we don't have the big family network that we used to have. So, we've got to look after ourselves, ultimately, and provide for the future. And, you know, Cairn Hospital has been there a long while, has served a lot of people, has served this community well. But we're just, it's kind of very, very annoying that the service is needed and we're not providing it.
Okay, thanks for your time. Good points made, very clearly. Now, I think we're all incredibly concerned by road deaths and the level of road deaths and the frequency of these awful stories that are coming out. So far in this year, 163 lives have been lost. That's an increase of 9 on the same period last year. And I suppose, you know, for those who aren't directly or haven't been directly affected, you hear the news, you think it's awful, and then I suppose you move on to some extent. But that's 163 families there, or less, dependent on if there were some fatalities, that it was multiple members of the same family. But they're devastated, and that devastation lasts a lifetime. And I think Marie Hurley can talk to that side of things. Marie, thank you for your time. I know that you are from County Monaghan, but you're now a local living in Carrigart. And you lost your brother 3 decades ago, and it's not something you get over, is it?
No, it isn't. Good morning, Greg, and thank you for the opportunity. And can I just politely correct you? My story's the other way around. I'm from Carrigart, but I live in Monaghan now.
No problem. That's okay. So, that's my mistake. Originally from Carrigart, but now in Monaghan.
Yeah, no worries.
Go ahead, Marie.
No worries, because I'm sure people will hear me and realise this is a Donegal accent and not a Monaghan one. Yes, my brother was killed, it'll actually be 3 months from today, on the 25th of February, 30 years ago. Mm. So on the 25th of February of 1996, which probably seems like an awful long time ago to some people, and even some of the people I've spoken to in the last 24 hours weren't even born when he was killed. But the news last weekend of 5 people losing their lives in a single accident in County Monaghan and stroke County Louth, that just gave me an absolute kick in the gut. I was right back there again on the morning of that Sunday morning when, as people talk about, the knock came to the door. And I'd been awake all night before because I had a feeling there was something off. I don't know what it was, and I'm not going to say now that I'm clairvoyant or anything like it, but there was something wrong. I couldn't settle to sleep that night.
Yeah.
And at 5:30 when the knock came to the door, I was already up sitting in the kitchen thinking, where is he? What's going on? How come he didn't contact us? How come he didn't come home? You know, he was 23 years of age and had his own car. And as I said already, it was the end of February. He was out on a Saturday night out. Himself and his friends had an arrangement that if someone was driving, they weren't drinking. And that was his night to drive. So I knew that he wouldn't have had a drink. So I wasn't able to think, well, God, maybe something happened because he was drunk. Because God forbid, back then, there wasn't as much rigor about controlling, you know, drink driving and so on. Thankfully now there's much more policing of that and people are more aware. But 30 years ago, it wasn't the same. So anyway, that wasn't a concern. But the knock came to the door, and so as soon as I opened the door and saw the guard with his hat on, I thought, oh my God, he's dead. Oh my God, he's dead. And of course he was. And he still is 30 years later, obviously.
And it is like so, you've seen an advert, I take it, the guard stepped in the door, took the hat off and said, I'm sorry, I've got some very bad news.
Yeah, well, what actually happened in her situation was I looked at him and I said, oh my God, he's dead, isn't he? So they didn't even have to say it because the second I saw the reflection through the glass in the door and saw a blue uniform and a hat, I thought to myself, oh my God, he's been killed. Now, I had no idea how or why or where, but I just knew absolutely to my core that he was already dead. So they came in and they said yes. And then, of course, what always happens, everyone sort of apologizes to everyone else. They were then apologizing to me for the fact that he was gone. And I was saying, where, how, what, when, what? Yeah. And I still have questions 30 years later. Well, a lot of it is never, ever explained, never understood.
Yeah, exactly. That's why the appeals that are out there are so important, because I do make the point that the families need every little piece of information. So obviously you and personally, but also the community in Monaghan affected by that awful tragedy. But what I don't get, and maybe I'm guilty of this myself sometimes, Marie, we know the reality of it, but we don't seem to change our driving behaviours even though we know what the awful consequences could be. Does that frustrate you?
Yeah, it does frustrate me greatly. And I did spend a lot of time, years in fact, after my brother had been killed, saying to people, would you ever wise up? Would you ever slow down? Would you ever think of other people? If you don't care about yourself, could you think about the rest of us, for example? You know, because it can get very annoying at times, you know. But I was just thinking about things for the last week or so since that dreadful tragedy where the five young people were killed. And there's this outpouring of grief. Understandably, there's sympathy in the community, there's sympathy in the country, because it was such a staggering event, if you want to put it like that. And everybody wrings their hands and wonders, what will we say and how can we help people? But then, as you said in your introduction, everyone walks away. And at some level, and I know this is going to cause discomfort and people are not going to like me saying this, but lots of people walk away and go, well, thanks be to God, it wasn't our house. And that's natural. That's human nature. That's what we all do. And I even sometimes think, well, thank God it's so long ago since it happened here that we have begun to be able to deal with it. It's not present tense for us. It's past tense. But of course, that doesn't bring back the person who's gone. It doesn't change all the lives that were devastated by that death, you know. And like, we've had 30 birthdays, 30 Christmases, 30 years of other people being born into the family. Of weddings, of christenings, of communions, of confirmations, of engagements, of other people being dead, and the inevitability of sitting in a house at a wake and somebody saying, and how long is he dead now? While there's an old person whose life was lived to the end, who had a fulfilled, long, happy life, who's naturally come to the end of their time here. And then my brother was taken at 23. And sometimes I just can't make sense of that. Like in our particular circumstances, Greg, I had a granny who lived till she was 102 and 8 months, right? My brother was killed in the February of 23. She died 6 months later at 102.
Almost 100 years between them. Yeah, exactly, almost 80 years older.
There was a lifetime between them.
And you know, the funny thing is we need to have these conversations. We need to talk about the realities. But, you know, fatal road traffic collisions are so frequent, it's like suicide almost.
Oh, it's stressful.
You know, you can't talk about it because it feels like it's insensitive in that time. And this just goes on to perpetuity because, very sadly, every three or 4 days, there will be another fatal road traffic collision. Marie, I would love to re-engage with you and chat about this when we have a little bit more time, because I think you make some points that I don't want to leave there. So what I might do is chat to the team and set up a time we can talk about a little bit going forward about how you see maybe how we can talk about this the right way, especially coming from your own experience. But for now, Marie, I thank you for joining me. You've made your point, but as I say, I think there's more to this conversation we can have in the future. So we will be in touch.
Thanks.